1 verse 1 to 6 today. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Thank you, Alicia. We're doing our sermon series on the parable of the sower. Thank you very much. If you do not have one of these but would like one, put your hand up. I'd certainly recommend them for everyone. You can follow them. Everyone got one? There's some here. Is there someone who can hand them out for us? Thank you very much. We've got some visitors down there. And Gio needs one. He needs one. They want one, but you need one, Brother Gio. Hallelujah. Well, Psalm 1, we're talking about the parable of the sower, and which is largely about, Jesus said to his disciples soon after the passage in Mark 4, he said, when they asked him to explain the parable of the sower, he said, if you don't understand this parable, you don't understand any of the parables or any of the teachings of the kingdom of God. So it's very foundational. And in Psalm chapter 1, we get a view of the results of someone who is good soil. Today we're going to just do a little bit of a revision of last week, and then we're going to talk about rewards. And rejoicing and rewards and the harvest, what the harvest is and what God has in plan for us for rewards and rejoicing. And the little logo, I think, that we said, the little saying that we said last week says, I can be the soil that's me. I can be the soil that's me. You say, Pastor, that sounds like a contradiction. Well, what I'm really saying there is that there is that which we're made to be, that which we are in Christ, and we can learn to live like that. So we can be the good soil. So in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in a path with sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is on the law of the Lord, and on his law or his word they meditate day and night. This person is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and in whatever they do, they will prosper. This is the fruit of good soil. This is someone whose delight, whose joy is in the Word of God, and consequently they meditate on God's Word day and night. And they are like a tree who's planted by the rivers of water. Even when times of drought and testing come, they still prosper. Their leaves are still green. They still have a harvest. That's what God believes about you. And we can be the soil that's me. When we first bought the house we're in now, I had invested. I don't know why. I guess because my early childhood years were in New Guinea, but I like the idea of having a jungle around me. And so when I bought the house that we're in now, I had bought up from. We had previously had some acreage in the Gold Coast hinterland, and I'd bought like hundreds of plants, or scores of plants, probably 60, 80 plants, and a number of them were trees. And I was looking at these two trees I planted the other day, and I was supposed to take a photo of them, but the garbage was near it, and I couldn't be bothered moving the garbage. There's two trees I planted 6 years ago. One of them has grown from a tree that was this height to a tree that was about that height. The other tree is the size of that tree. They were planted at the same time. They were planted virtually in the same amount of sun. So one tree is like here, and the other tree is like here. But one tree looks like that, and the other tree looks like one of those. It's amazing. I'm amazed. I sit there and I look at this big tree and I go, you're a big tree. You're a beautiful tree. And the other tree, I look at it and I think, you're pathetic. What a lame. You're supposed to be a tree. You know, tree. Is tree a verb? Tree. It is now. Be a tree. Do you know the only difference? Because they get the same. In fact, the pathetic little tree, otherwise known as PLT, pathetic little tree, or is actually gets the morning sun. The big tree, who's actually doing some serious treeing, gets the afternoon sun. But the difference is I planted them both in we've got a rockery. And one of them was planted in the middle of the rockery where the soil is about that much higher. About that much higher than the surrounding soil. And the other one's on the edge of the rockery with the soil like this. The only difference is the depth of the soil and what that root has been able to do. And I look at that and I think, man, what a picture that is of people that are getting same amount of water, same amount of light, but one's growing and one's prospering. And that's the image that Jesus has in the parable of the sower. So just to recap on a couple of things we talked about last week, Jesus went out, at one stage he saw the harvest, and he says he had compassion upon them because they were lost. They had a meaningless life and they were confused and they were like sheep without a shepherd. The interesting thing I find about that is that he had compassion on them. He was moved to work with them and moved to teach them and instruct on them. But according to the parable, most of them rejected what he was saying. I find it interesting, and we talked in previous weeks about the children of Israel, that the children of Israel hardened their hearts toward God. And so they were called out of Egypt. They were called out of sin. They went through baptism. There are the pictures of Christians, right, going through the Red Sea and coming out the other side. And they get to where God wants them to be, and they fall short because they don't believe about themselves what God believes them to be. And so, likewise, with the people that Jesus is ministering to, is it not true that he believes in them more than they believe in themselves? Is it not true that he sees in them greatness, and he sees in world changes, and they can't see it? I find it interesting that if we're still willing to live by past hurts or past identity that other people have given us or the world gives us, we cannot move into what God has for us. And so the children of Israel, they get manna. They get a pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day. They get doves. They get protection. But they want to go back to Egypt. They want to be judged by how the world judges them. They've had this little bit of comfort, a little bit of esteem. They've got this little bit of glory from the world because they can make 800 bricks a day. And they say, we want to go back to making bricks. And we want to eat onions and leeks by the River Nile. They must be some good onions and leeks. And they had in front of them milk and honey and kingdoms and castles that they could walk in if they were just prepared to soften their heart and listen to what God has to say of who they are. You know, there's a movie, The Power of One. I think it's based in South Africa. Is that right? The Power of One? Come on now. No movie bus. Thank you very much. I need a second testimony. The key line in that is that people are not afraid of what they want. They're not afraid of what they want to be. They're afraid of who they really are. Most Christians are afraid of who we really are. And Jesus believed in this crowd more than what they believed in themselves. And when he told them what they could be, when he told them who they are, they repelled from it. They were offended. The soil with a hardened heart. Every week I'll talk a little bit about soil and then we're going to have a couple of sermons on it. But the soil with a hardened heart is the soil that has rejected what God has said about them and chosen instead the old ways. I was reading, and it was in my devotions this morning, and this is by our father in the faith, Linda and my father in the faith. The verse is on worry. It's from Matthew 6:25. It says, take no thought for your life. He says, shortly after I was born again, I promised God, I'll never doubt anything I read in your word. I'll put your word into practice. So this is a picture of this. This is a 15-year-old boy who's already died. Actually, he went towards hell and he got called back. And then on his deathbed, because he had a couple of heart diseases and he was paralyzed, and they were surprised that he'd lived that long, but he gave his life to the Lord. And he would get his grandmother to put the Bible on his bed and open it up to a page that he could read. And he would turn it over when he had the energy and perhaps read a page a day, if that. And he started with the Gospels. He said, shortly after I was born again, I promised God I'll never do anything. I will never doubt anything I read in your word. I will put your word into practice. Everything in the word was a light and a blessing to me until I came to Matthew 6:25. Matthew 6:25 says, take no thought for your life. He says, I learned from the footnote in the Bible that the Greek says, do not be anxious about tomorrow. And the cross references pointed out that God says, do not worry. But I was full of worry. When you hear his testimony, he said, my family was champion warriors. My grandmother, my mother are all champion warriors. So he said, I was a champion warrior. He said, I was full of worry. Not only was I nearly dead with a heart condition, but I was about to worry myself the rest of the way to the grave. Lord, I said, if I have to live without worry, I can't be a Christian. And then he says this. Suddenly, everything in the word seemed dark and fuzzy. I couldn't get any more light from the word. My conscience smote me because I was not practicing the word. Our challenge is to believe that we can be the soil that's me. Jesus didn't tell the parable of the sower to keep you as a hard soil with its heart hardened to God. He did tell the parable of the sower so that you would stay rocky soil or you would stay soil that's choked. He believes in you. He's called you. He looked at the crowd. The Bible says he had compassion on them. And he saw in them and he sees in you and me greater than we can ever dream. And we look at the things of the world and they think that they're like glitter. And God has more. He's got bigger things for us. We can be, and we need to decide, am I going to be that soil that bears fruit? Praise God. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Some of the other things we talked about is that the sower expects a harvest. So if you can, whatever we receive today from the Word of God that's worth life, God wants it to bring a harvest in your life. When God, Jesus died and he died for you, he expected a harvest. He wants a harvest. He's invested in us. So we're going to talk about the harvest and the reward. Well, what is the harvest that God wants? In Matthew 9, 35 to 38, Jesus looked out at the crowd and he said, there is the harvest. He said, the field is white under harvest. The harvest is people. The harvest is your friends. The harvest is your family. The harvest is people you come across. God believes in us. He believes in you. He believes in the church. And the harvest is people. In Revelations, where the Bible says the angel of the Lord comes down and reaps and pulls in the harvest, it's people. It's not things. It's not wealth. It's not buildings. It's you, it's your heart, and it's your family's heart. That's the harvest that God wants to reap. Now, the Bible says there's joy. There's joy in the harvest. Jesus said, look, the fields are white under harvest. He said, look up, the fields are white under harvest. He said, and the sower and the reaper are rejoicing together. And then he says, the angels rejoice when one sinner comes. So there's joy in a harvest. There's joy when people get saved. Come on now. When you gave your life to the Lord, Jesus said, angels rejoiced. They didn't rejoice when you scored your first touchdown. They didn't rejoice when you did your first lick on the base. They rejoice when you gave your life to the Lord. That's the harvest. That's the eternal harvest. And what we do with that will determine our reward. It says they rejoice. That's not a metaphor. In Revelations, it says Jesus walks amongst the churches, looking and rejoicing, and rejoiced at you. He did. Angels rejoice. Big angels with big wings. They went, woo, Nora. And Paul, they rejoiced at you. I think they've got more joy about us than we've got joy about us sometimes. I think he's happier. You know why? Because they see life for what it is. They see the eternal picture. Just when Jesus looked at them and they didn't know they were lost or confused. They thought what they were doing was meaningful. They thought what they were doing was fantastic. And Jesus said, they're lost, they're confused, they don't know the big picture. The harvest is your life and what you do with it. The harvest is those around you. And when you go, it's Jesus going with you. Hallelujah. So, sower and the reaper rejoice. Did you know there's rewards? This is a hard topic. And I always struggle with it because I believe firmly that we are saved by grace. We are. That means there's nothing we can do to earn or deserve it. God gives us the power to repent. He gives us the grace for salvation. And so I always struggled with the idea that when we get to heaven that there would be rewards. But the Bible's clear about it. So it says in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 15. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. And Paul says this. 1 Corinthians 3, we'll start at 10. He says, according to the grace given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than what is laid upon Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds a foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. The day when the Lord returns will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test what sort of work each person has done. You know, none of us here live perfect lives. Except, of course, for my wife. She's made one mistake, but I've stuck with her for 37 years. aren't you glad that those things we do, which are not in God and not His will, are going to be burnt up before we get into heaven? It says there that there's things in life that you can do that are His will. You're doing it by faith. That's the stones. That's the gemstones. That's the gold. That's the silver, because they go through the fire. But the things we do for our own fleshly desire, for our own worldly recognition, for our own glory that we get because people have given us praise and glory, they're what's going to be burnt up. And it says here that some of them, it says, the day will disclose it, for it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, they will receive a reward. If the work is burned up, they will suffer loss, though they themselves will be saved, but only as through fire. I don't want to be one of the ones who gets into heaven going, because everything I brought with me got burned up, you know. And you go in red-faced just because you're embarrassed, but also because of all the fire that went running around you. But those things that are done, which are part of the plans and purposes of God for your life, you're going to have a reward for, and we'll talk about what some of those rewards are. There's rewards for helping others serve. Because I guess it had to be that way. But Jesus said, "Whoever gives water to a prophet gets the prophet's reward." Okay, so it's kind of good. Otherwise, I think everyone would be just running off their own, starting their own churches and doing their own ministries and saying, "Oh, just not about me," you know. But there's actually, if you join in with someone and labor beside them, you share in their rewards. So, you know, just to give you a picture of what that means, when we were in Tulsa at Bible College, and I was working in a furniture store, and I helped the Hagans buy some furniture. So we were in under the ministry of Kenneth E. Hagan. And Mrs. Hagan said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, we're planning to go back to Australia." She said, "Well, hook up with Rhema in Australia and help them." And so we connected with them, and we're still connected with them. And some of you met Pastor Patsy and Pastor Tony at Chloe's ordination. And we are under their ministry. And so we're hooked up with them. So we will share in some of the blessing that Brother Hagen has for eternity. And so, you know, if you want blessings, find a good ministry, get in there and help them. All right? That you're welcome. If you can't find one, stay here. Get in there. And you know, it means you're going to put down your pride because there's some ways they do things that I wouldn't do. But that's okay. I'm going to share in their reward. And so when you set up signs, I drove past here on Thursday night and the signs were set up. Someone went out and set up signs. Have you seen those signs? Aren't they beautiful? Who put them up? I don't know. Who put them up? No one's going to admit to it. Was it Paul? But someone put it up. Maybe they just went up by themselves. But then you think, well, you know, they're putting that up, but, you know, they're sharing in this reward. It's not going to be more for me and more for them. It's going to be the faithfulness which we work at, something that gives him glory, not us glory. Jesus said, if you're doing something because, watch what you're doing. If you're doing it, it feeds your ego. People say what a great job that is. People clap and applaud at you. You go, Jesus said, that's fine, but you've had your reward. That's it. You got it. So there's shared rewards. But it's not just rewards in heaven, because remember, Jesus said this, where Peter was saying, oh, you know, Lord, we've given up everything for you. Do you know giving up things costs? Giving up things costs. No one, yeah. The first meal that Linda ever cooked for our family, it was a beautiful meal, but it had these things that were straight from the pit of hell. What were they called? Okra. Has anyone had okra? All right. I've given up okra. Do you know there's no reward in heaven for giving up okra? There's no reward. I have my reward on earth. There probably would have been reward if I'd eaten it and smiled and said, this is beautiful, darling. But there wasn't, all right? Giving up things that cost you. But you know that Psalm 1, this is the one who plants his tree by the rivers of water and on his word meditates day and night, that shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. They shall bring fruit, their leaves will not wither. They shall bring fruit in their season. Jesus said to Peter, if you've given up homes, careers, stardom, fame, father, mother, in this life, you'll receive 100 times more. And what he's saying is those things that you're really looking for in life will be there for you. The relationships, the love, the joy, the fulfillment, the family will be there for you. And he said, and when you die, eternal life and eternal reward. It says in Revelation 4:4-5, it says, behold, he's coming back, and with him the righteous saints are coming back to rule and reign on the earth. Jesus said he would come, didn't he? He said he would die, didn't he? He said he would rise from the dead, didn't he? Is he going to fall down at the last hurdle? Because he said, I'm coming back. And I'm coming back with those that have laid down their life for me, and we will rule and reign on the earth. And he gives all these parables about it, tons of them, well, a number of them. Like he talks about the one the servant that he gives one talent to, and he invests that talent. And when this master comes back, he says, I'm going to multiply that talent. Now, if that talent is a talent which the world loves, and you invest it in the world, there's no reward. If that talent is to make wealth, and all you do with it is make wealth, there's no reward. If you're a great artist and all you do is paint artists for the world, there's no reward. You got it. But he speaks about a reward and he says it's tenfold. For those that served mightily, it's tenfold. Tenfold. I believe he was telling the truth. I believe he's coming back to rule and reign on the earth. And he says, those of us that are here now that are willing to serve, they're going to be at the top. They're the ones that are going to be serving. Those of us that gave up their worldly glorious talents and used them for the gospel, they're the ones that are going to be, he's going to use to multiply. Now, we will get to grow in heaven, the kingdom of the heaven. We'll all get to grow. You know that? We will get to grow. It won't just be where we are. But I find it interesting that Jesus, looking at the crowd, I'm sure they were busy. I'm sure they had many good things. And there was nothing wrong with those things necessarily. You know, but they're not what God had called them. They didn't know that they had their purpose. And he believed in them more than they believed in themselves. There's a harvest, there's rejoicing, and there's a reward in heaven. Paul said in Corinthians, he said, it is joy unspeakable, full of glory, the half of which we've never been imagined. And we can get a little bit of glory in this life. But every now and again, we drive down to Sydney or Canberra or just past it. And there's a little town, which you might know, that's just before Port Macquarie. It's called Maxville. Has anyone heard of Maxville? Yeah, Bev, you would know because it's near Wauchope. Yep, Wauchope. Maxville. Well, one of the most famous athletic incidents that ever happened in Maxville was a certain 16-year-old set the North Coast Athletics record for walking over 1,500 meters. That was me. And it happened like this. This was the first time the walk had ever been in the regional athletics, and it was the last event of the day. And so the PE teacher said, does anyone want to do the walk? And no one put their hand up. I said, well, I'll do it. And I'm walking along, you know? You know how they walk? Being very careful, walking along. And all of a sudden, people started to get behind me, and just one or two in front of me, and, you know, it's four laps of 1,500 meters. I'm just coming up, and I think, I can win this. I can do this. And sure enough, like 100 meters ago, I beat the person in front of me, and I won. And I became the regional open 1,500 meters walk champ for the North Coast of New South Wales. And so now every time we drive past Maxville, I go, so, guys, have you heard the story? We've heard the story. And, you know, I had to go up in assembly and I received the badge, and I got my little blue ribbon. And I said, Grant holds the regional record. I'm glad they didn't tell him it was the first time it was ever run. I'm sure it's some archive somewhere in the New South Wales Department of Education. There is, back then, the 1,500 meters open championship record time, Grant Jonathan Peterson. I got my reward. And you know what? Who cares? Me. My family doesn't care. Maxwell High doesn't care. I'm sure Tari High, I'm sure it's forgotten. So we're going to look back at the things that we thought were important in this life, and they're going to be like that. They're going to be like that. We have a God who believes in us. He believed in you. I believe in you. Moses became unpopular because he believed in them more than what they believed in themselves. And they wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to sit by the lake, build bricks, and eat leeks. Don't go back to Egypt. God's got big things for you. He's got good things for you. It means you're going to have to lay down what the world wants for you to do, but it will pay dividends. It will pay, and it'll be better than a blue ribbon from Maxwell High School athletics. I know that's hard to believe, but honestly, you'll look back at the things now. We have some musicians up here. We can be the soil that's me. And my prayer, really, as from a pastor's heart, is that we will learn to see who God's called us to be. He's called all of us, each and every one of us, to bring in a harvest, to be part of a great harvest. I believe the Sunshine Coast is coming to Jesus, and I believe we're part of that. And God's got a dream for us to be part of a harvest. Amen. Can you see yourself having an eternal harvest? Can you see yourself laying down the things which will have no reward and picking up the things that do have reward for eternity? I believe we can be the soil God's called us to be. Amen? Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's life, health, and peace to us. Father, we thank you that you have called us out of darkness to be a shining light in this place. Father, we believe that where we go, Jesus goes with us. Our hands are his hands. Our feet are his feet. And we believe that we can be the soil that we're called to be. Good soil that hears your word, feeds off your word, grows strong. And all the people who believe that said amen. Praise God.